Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We got a ton of stuff to get into to kick off our week. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville, and Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell is holding fort there at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing? How was your weekend?
It was excellent. It's glad to be back at it here on this Monday. A lot of challenges ahead, a lot of games, and a lot of issues to get to. So, raring to go. It was a good weekend. A lot of rain, but we made it work.
We didn't get a lot here. I know a lot of people did. We didn't get a ton here. I mean, we got some, but not a lot.
It was a good weekend for me to sit in the house and be on iRacing all weekend. So that's pretty much what I did. It was good times.
Okay. Also known as Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, man, I was so close to that first win, too. Finished third.
What's your seat time right now? How many hours have you logged?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've run over 90 races since I started this. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So turned about 2,500 laps. So it's I was actually in a race yesterday with Bernard Pollard. So that was fun.
Okay.
We were trash talking.
Yeah.
So
how's he doing?
He's good. We're kind of the same level, I would say. Same experience level. We both, and see, it's this week or last week, it was at Daytona, and you never know what's going to happen at Daytona. So it just, a lot of wrecks. If you make it through the first turn, you've won. But yeah, so that was my weekend.
Quite the finish Saturday night for NASCAR.
Yeah.
And William Byron, for sure.
Yeah, Willie B, getting it done.
Hey, big stage, big moment. Punch your ticket in with a nice win. You got to love that. First career win.
Yeah. And
in the playoffs, Jimmy Johnson,
he's out.
No playoffs.
But the coolest moment that they showed was Jimmy Johnson walking over to victory lane. Obviously, Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson have a ton of history together, 7 championships. But walking over to victory lane and congratulating those guys, even though they knocked him out with that win. I mean, that wreck knocked him out, but let's be honest. But I thought that was cool that he went over and congratulated them. Classy guy, and they haven't named a driver for the 48 yet. Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
What are you saying?
I think he comes back. I think he should.
Why?
So,
why?
Okay.
This is the last 2 years he's missed.
I understand.
He's on the decline.
No, right? I understand that part of it.
In fact, he's not even really relevant. I mean, he's relevant as in who he is, but he's not relevant week to week anymore on the track.
But would you not agree that the only guy besides Earnhardt and Petty to win 7 championships deserves the opportunity to go out with, you know, be able to go to these tracks and have the fans celebrate his career? I mean, maybe that's selfish. I'm not even a Jimmy Johnson fan. But I'm just saying, like, you've seen Gordon and Earnhardt Jr. and all these guys, Tony Stewart, they go on these retirement tours and they get honored, and he hasn't been able to do that. Now, maybe, you know, he just is like, I mean, he's a humble guy, so that probably doesn't register. It's just like, whatever, you know, that's the way that it's been this year. But that's the only thing that really sucks, is he's not able to soak in the retirement tour.
He hasn't won a race since 2017.
I know. And even that 2016 when he won a championship, that wasn't a great. He just fell in place for him.
I hear you. I mean, I get that. Are you saying because he wants some cool gifts? Is that what you're saying? Or has he been getting those?
No, and I don't even think this is him. This is me saying that, and a lot of other people. I mean, I don't think he – I'm not going to say he doesn't care, because obviously he appreciates that stuff. But, like, if – I don't know if that's the reason that he'd come back. But I think if he doesn't win a race in these next 10 – that could be the reason. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he at least runs the 500. Because he's still competitive on plate track, so.
I mean, a one-off, yeah, okay, that's fine. But, I mean, to come back for a full season just for a farewell tour with maybe fans in the stands, I mean, we don't know how all that's going to play out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What I could see happening with that ride is, because there's some stars aligning. Brad Keselowski re-signed with Penske, but it was only a one-year deal. And he was the guy that everybody thought would probably go back to Hendrick and take that ride. What I could see happening is Jimmy, because he's been very clear. He said, I'm just retiring full time. So I could see him agreeing to do like a part-time schedule with Hendrick. Hendrick has a huge stable of up-and-comers in the Xfinity Series with Junior Motorsports. And they run that 48 car full time, but Jimmy does a part-time schedule similar to what Mark Martin did several years ago, and they let the young guys get some cup experience as well. So that could be a possibility too. And then they go full-time with it with one of those guys, or BK comes over in 2022.
We shall see. The Dallas Stars are one game away from punching their ticket into the Western Conference Final. One person on this staff picked the Dallas Stars to win that series. One person on this staff picked Colorado to win the Cup.
Yeah.
Another person on this staff picked Colorado, which just goes along with the theme of his sorry picks. But yeah, Willie picked the Stars to win the series, and they are in control.
And it's
three
really
games to one, and they have, and it's not the style we expected
yes,
to see.
That's not the
series we expected.
That's the tricky part of it, is it's not happening the way I envisioned it. There have been these wacky games that have been really high scoring, very entertaining, wide open, and that's not how you would think Dallas would beat the Avalanche, but that's exactly how they're doing it. They're getting timely goals, their power play was great, and you have to tip your hat. The guy in the middle of it, stirring it up yesterday, was Corey Perry, right?
Corey Perry has had an excellent series.
He's had a huge impact on the series. Didn't have a great regular season, but he is doing a great job for them in his own way, right? Annoying everybody, drawing penalties, getting to the front of the net, causing chaos.
It's what the Predators need.
Well,
I mean, when we had this discussion last year in the offseason, I said, as much as it pains me to say it, I would be all in favor of Corey Perry coming to Nashville. I said it last offseason, just because they need that type of guy. I can't stand him, but you would like it on your roster. They need that type of guy on this roster.
That ingredient is an ingredient that helps teams win.
Yep.
There's no doubt. And now, you know, I don't know what kind of person Corey Perry is or what kind of teammate he is. We know what he is on the ice, right? He's a guy that you just can't stand playing against. But
he's a jerk.
Yeah, but he's making a big impact on the series. So we'll see if they can close it out. They play again tonight. So tough decision for Jared Bednar, because Pavel Francouz had some trouble.
He hasn't looked good.
He hasn't looked good. Their only option is Michael Hutchinson, who came in and played the last 12 minutes last night. I don't think Grubauer will be ready to go tonight. So that's going to be interesting. And I wouldn't count Colorado out. They could come out and win 5-0 tonight. They've got that kind of firepower.
Well, I wouldn't count them out either.
But they don't look like a team that's going to win this series. They just don't. Dallas has been the much better team. They have. They just have. They have been the only thing that could happen is you got to then tell me that Colorado is going to come back and push back and punch back. Because right now Dallas is the aggressor, and Colorado really isn't pushing back. Like, Dallas is doing whatever they want to Colorado. They are being the aggressive team, and they are dictating everything. And we thought Colorado was going to dictate, and Dallas was going to try to slow it down and muck it up and do all that. And these games are going to be a lot more low scoring. Dallas is having no problem scoring. and Dallas is just in their grill. And I need to know, can Colorado push back? I mean, I like Kadri. You guys know that. But they need more guys that are willing to push back. Are they willing to push back and fight for their right to never mind. I just broke up. Jeez, what happened?
Were you listening to License to Ill over the weekend or something?
No. It's a good album.
It's a good, great album.
It is a good album. Are they willing to fight to stay in the bubble? I don't know. They don't look like a team. I've been surprised. I don't want to say how Dallas has made it look easy, but Dallas has been in control. I guess that's the best way to put it. They've been in control in this series.
And you know who else is in control?
The New York Islanders. And the Islanders.
Man, do they play their system. It is incredible. When they're up two goals in the third period,
you're done.
You're just thinking, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's hard to even get a shot. And Philadelphia did get one to get to within one, and it was kind of a magical puck. And you were saying, what the heck was Thomas Greiss doing on the play? It was a weird goal to even make it close. But they're so good at locking it down. It is really something to see. And Tampa's got a stranglehold on their series against the Bruins. That next game is tonight, so that will be something to watch to see if the Bruins can stay alive.
I'm feeling good about, you know, three of the four. Just Colorado. It's the only one.
Willie had Vancouver.
I had Vancouver, and they had a chance last night. They forged ahead in the third period, and then whoops, the spurt ability of Vegas. And that's been a series that has had some spurts, right? You can score. You've seen goals in bunches there.
Yeah.
But Vegas is tough. That was probably Vancouver's best shot right there. I don't know can they recover from that? They probably feel like they missed their chance to be even and have a chance to win the series here. Well, a lot of momentum right now for Vegas.
You know what I've noticed to this point? There really hasn't been a lot of magical series, right? This, like, just slobberknocker back and forth. And I wonder how much does the atmosphere or lack of change? I mean, these, think about it. Teams have been, you've been able to watch these series, and for the most part, you can identify pretty early in the series who's the better team, and it just kind of plays out that way. There's like, there hasn't been this real, like, back and forth, like heavyweight fight, 15 round knockout all the way round by round. You don't know what to expect. We haven't really seen that. Do we think that's because of the bubble?
Potentially. I mean, I would think that has to factor in somehow. Because you're right. I mean, it's been different from that standpoint. But yeah. So, I mean, I would say that there's probably something to that. That it's, even though I think everybody that's been there is now used to it, it's still different. You're still not going to have that playoff-like atmosphere where you can... I mean, how many times did we talk about in 2017 with the Predators' run, just how much of a factor Bridgestone was in that type of atmosphere? So I would certainly say that that's affected the play to some extent.
I mean,
it's hard to
know. There hasn't been a game. I don't believe there's going to be a game seven. I think all these teams that are in control up 3-1 are going to win the series. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know how to explain. It's just weird that you don't really see this just, you know, take the first game. Then the other team comes back, takes the next game. The other team comes back, takes the next game. Then the other team comes back, takes the next game. I mean, you just don't see that back and forth. Right now, it's just like you win game one, and it seems like the game one winner kind of takes off and takes control. I know Boston won game one, and that wasn't the case in that series. Tampa's come back and won the next three. But overall, it just feels like the team that's taken control, they just kind of end up finishing things off. There really hasn't been any crazy drama, you know, especially games. Have we had a series go six yet?
Yeah.
I guess six.
Vancouver and St. Louis.
Yeah.
Dallas and Calgary.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say to this point, St. Louis and Vancouver might be the best series.
It's weird. The series haven't gone the distance, but there have been great games within the series.
Tampa-Columbus was fun.
Tampa-Columbus was a great
series.
That
was.
Yeah.
Even though Tampa won in five games. So it doesn't
Tampa, you know, Toronto.
I think the games. Columbus, I think the games Toronto. Have been fun. Like the Dallas Colorado series, every game has been nutty to watch. Momentum shifts and high scoring and lead changes. Same thing with Vegas and Vancouver. But it does look like one team has got a handle on the series. So it's a weird dynamic in that respect.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little Titans with Teron Davenport. On the other side, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looks like the Padres have acquired Mike Clevinger from Cleveland. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, it looks like the NCAA has trademarked Battle in the Bubble. Isn't that interesting? It's now floating out there that the NCAA has trademarked Battle in the Bubble. We say hello and good morning to Teron Davenport. He covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. He's the NFL Nation reporter, also... You should check out his work talking with TD and, of course, and Nate on Friday nights as well. The debut of that was this past Friday night at 6 o'clock. Good stuff. You're going to make that appointment listening. Is there a real battle at the kicker position? How hairy is this thing getting for Greg Joseph?
I think it's getting very hairy. It's Afro type, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it's a daily competition. They're doing the best they can to create game-like situations, pressure-type situations, and they did it yesterday as far as situational. We're talking about 20 seconds and under, and they put them to the test, right, kicking 50-plus yards. And the one thing about Tucker McCann is this guy has a leg. Like, the ball booms off of his foot, but it's just a matter of him getting it to go in the right direction, and that's something he's continuing to work on.
So Koskowski lives here. We know he kicked at Memphis. He now lives here. Hauschka, is that how you say his name, the former Buffalo kicker? Those two, have they officially worked out with the Titans?
Well, according to Mike Vrabel, the reports don't get released until after the player has gone through the necessary testing to work out. So I think it just kind of depends on who you talk to. From my understanding, they haven't worked out.
They have not.
Well, at least Goskowski, there's something in order to happen, but they're still going through the testing process. So that's my understanding.
Right now, if you were to slide your chips one to the right or to the left, you were sitting at a table in Vegas, would you slide it on Greg? Okay, yes to the right, no to the left. Greg Joseph will be the kicker in Denver on Monday Night Football 2 weeks from today.
If it's between...
I'm going to go just him alone. Yes or no? Which way are you sliding your chips?
I mean, there's a lot of variables that to factor in, so it's not really. I'll say yes.
Yes, okay.
Again, because if it's going between the two, yes. But I mean, you have guys, you know, established guys in Goskowski and Steven Hauschka, who could factor into that. So you know, there's variables with that. I think that you have to consider the kickoff aspect as well, you know, being able to get those touchbacks, and that's something that Greg Joseph was able to do. So that's a factor as well.
So then if I said Tucker McCann, you would slide to no?
Correct.
Okay. And then other would be for now, no? So you think it's going to be Greg Joseph in Denver?
I think it's going to be Greg Joseph in Denver if they don't go look at signing, you know, other players. I mean, like, you're asking me a question that really I can't say yes for sure, you know, knowing that there's a strong option that they may sign an established player. Like, that's just not something that you know, I could legitimately do.
Yeah, I'm not asking for breaking news. I'm just asking your opinion. That's all. It's just an opinion. I know nobody knows. Is it you're out
right.
there?
I know it's an opinion. That's what I'm saying. It's possible, but if they sign someone else, you know, if there's interest in Gostkowski and Hoska, obviously that's telling you that there's a chance that someone else may end up getting the job. Like they want to give someone else a shot. So, you know, I can't definitively say, in my opinion, is this, because I mean, it's just really hard to say that not knowing what they're going to do.
Why do you think they're getting cold feet on Greg Joseph? What's changed?
Pardon me?
Why do you think they're getting cold feet on Greg Joseph? What's changed?
Well, apparently they're not overly confident in what they've seen. And I think, well, obviously the Hoska situation, a guy in Tyler Bass, who I, before the draft from Georgia Southern, I said he was someone to watch out for. He beat Hoska out for the job in Buffalo. So now, you know, that's something else that has opened up to them. And Gostkowski, I mean, let's face the facts. He is an established kicker, and he's out there. So I think, you know, having those other options, established options, I think that definitely has you put a bit of a wrench in things just as far as, you know, the competition between those two.
Where do you think the backup quarterback battle is right now on the last day in August?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Trevor Siemian's job because of the experience perspective. I think also just because of, you know, the ability to put Woodside on the practice squad, and he will very likely pass through waivers and land on the practice squad. And then having that luxury of, okay, if something does happen, we have someone who's already been in the scheme and knows the scheme that we could just pull up off of our practice squad. I think that's really where it is. It's a good situation for Siemian because he has that edge as far as experience is concerned.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast you can hear, of course, on 102.5 The Game. He covers the Titans for ESPN. Teron, it's hard to be a Mets fan. I so enjoyed the doubleheader sweep of the Yankees on Friday, only to have my heart ripped out yesterday, which even for the Mets was tough. Up 7-2 with two outs in the last inning and managed to lose the game and then lose the second game of the doubleheader, also in extra innings. Ah, that was rough. But we've been through it, haven't we?
Yeah, they mess with my blood pressure, man. I'm a relatively healthy man, but I tell you, you know, those Mets, they don't contribute to it. I'll tell you that
much. Oh, man. Well, Teron, I want to ask you about what you saw last week. I thought it was – I mean, I really was moved by the way the team conducted themselves, starting with Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill, and then I thought Mike Vrabel handled the questions so well and eloquently and with the plan and the thought that the team put into how to handle their day off, that when they took the day off to think about other things rather than football. I thought that it was great because not only were they saying things, but they also put a plan of action in. I was really taken by that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was really good that they developed a plan. The Zoom with a Titan idea is a great concept, and I think that'll be good. But then it just further gives that opportunity for them to have those conversations. You know, some of the players have actually been subject to maybe not as severe, you know, is what we're seeing in these times, but some form of it. And I think, you know, being able to share those experiences or even just how it's impacted decisions, like when Mike Vrabel said Jonathan Joseph spoke about the tinted windows on his son's car and why he didn't want his son to have those because of concerns for his safety. Whereas when Mike Vrabel had that same conversation with his sons, it was something he didn't think twice about. I think that is an example of the way, you know, there are two different sets of ideas and viewpoints when it comes to this world. And those are conversations that need to be had so those type of things come to light. And it's a way to develop understanding. And when you understand the struggle, the circumstance that someone is dealing with, it's a lot easier to try to find a solution, help find a solution. And I think that's what you're having here in the Titans locker room and in the building, period.
Teron, what do you think happens with Leonard Fournette? I've seen all these lists now of where he might end up, I guess there's a pretty good chance that somebody snaps up his existing contract on the waiver wire here. What do you think he's got left? I mean, if somebody uses him correctly, can he still be a first-rate running back in the league?
Yeah, he could still be a first-rate running back. And that contract that he has, there's no offset. So the Jaguars are on the hook for $4 million. Whatever he gets from another team is just icing on the cake. So that's definitely something to consider. But if you look at Fournette last year, he had a pretty productive year, almost 1,200 rushing yards. Obviously, the yards per carry was something that you would want to get up. But you still get a back that could be a downhill runner, a guy that could be a bell cow. If you want to adapt to that, you know, that run-heavy scheme, you know, a team like Seattle would be perfect for him. I think the Redskins would be good for him. There's multiple options. You know, Chicago would be pretty good for him, too. So there's options for him. It's just a matter of, you know, giving him that right opportunity and understanding what it is that you have and building around that as far as utilizing it in the right way.
We see so few teams, though, commit to the power back, kind of like the Titans have done and benefited from by going that way with Derrick Henry. There was one time where it looked like Leonard Fournette was one of those types. I wonder if he's not the featured guy that's going to get 300 carries, can he be a good role player on the right team too? That's because looking long term for him, you know, he may have to do that to be effective.
Well, I think that's why he's not in Jacksonville anymore, to be honest with you, because I don't feel like he could be a role player. He is a volume back. A good example, you watch the game in Jacksonville, the Titans and Jaguars game last year in Jacksonville. He was at like around 2.7 yards per carry, then he popped a 60-yarder. And it was just one of those things where they kept hammering and hammering and hammering, and then it popped. And now the stat sheet looked totally different, you know. And I don't think that he's one of those guys that could be effective with 10 to 15 carries. I think you need to give him that ball 15 to 20 times automatically to expect some type of impact.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter, joins us every Monday here on the show. You were talking about some of the things that the players have brought up and, you know, what the Titans are trying to do, but specifically Kenny Vaccaro. I read the piece that you did on him and how he's not going to talk football this year. He's using his platform, and that to me is just another sign of why Kenny Vaccaro is not only a good football player but an even better leader in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he really is, and I think understanding that there's something bigger than football and bigger than Kenny Vaccaro and bigger than the Tennessee Titans going on, I think that's really huge and mature on his part, and it's something that you have to respect. I know just in posting, you know, some of the comments that I've seen in regards to that article, you know, that I did, it's definitely not something that's received by everyone, and that's fine. I just think it's unfortunate that people have a difference as far as understanding or viewpoint and automatically think that it's this terrible deed that he's doing. I think people need to understand that Kenny Vaccaro, that the Tennessee Titans, that Mike Vrabel, that Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry, these are people, right? They're not just objects. Like, they're not just a nice car that's built for us to enjoy driving. It's their people. There's more than just an entertainment thing that they bring. And it's unfortunate that people take away from their actual human aspect and just think that these are 24 needs to be out there to entertain them. It's more than that. And I think it's unfortunate that people don't understand that.
Do you think Cody Hollister is making a pretty good case that he's going to make this team? I know you've talked about him before, and there's some other receivers that are, you know, trying to make it, but he's been around for the last couple of years. Do you think that his chances are going up?
I think he makes the roster, period. I don't think it's a matter of chances going up. I think he's solidified a roster spot. And I was, you know, initially saying Christian Wilkerson was a guy I felt strongly would make the roster, but I've just seen things kind of tail off over the last week and a half or so. And as they tailed off, they kind of peaked for Cody Hollister. You see him making plays, you know, in one-on-ones. He's made a lot of improvement as far as his route running is concerned. I had an issue with his ability to get in and out of his breaks, but he's showing that he worked on that this offseason and is showing, because, you know, you see him in one-on-ones, then you see him, and I'm talking about low red zone one-on-ones, so like 10-yard line in, so there's not much room there to operate. You have to be quick in and out of your breaks and more sudden with your routes, and he's doing that. He even had a touchdown in red zone, low red zone one-on-one, not one-on-ones, team period, the other day. So, yeah, he's definitely making his mark. I think he's the fifth receiver. You know, he's the guy that will probably, you know, occupy that Tajae Sharpe type of role. But I think, you know, he's behind Khalif Raymond.
So he's an example of a guy that was around last year, was on the practice squad, went through training camp. They've brought back Will Compton, the boy, who knows, you know, knows the defense. He's been around, wasn't here last year. Jeremy McNichols, who is a guy that you and I talked about quite a bit on Chase and TD through training camp. So we're kind of seeing a theme here of the guys that know the system, that have been through camps before. They seem to have a little bit of an edge right now compared to the young guys that are just coming in and didn't have the benefit of a normal offseason.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. I mean, the fact of the matter is you look at the running backs, right? None of the younger running backs stepped up. So they said, well, you know what? Let's give Kari Blassingame carries. Wait a minute. Let's go and get Jeremy McNichols and get him in here. I think that's what it is. It's convenient for a McNichols, for a Will Compton, even for a Trevor Siemian to an extent because of his ties to Denver. I think it's convenient for those guys because they do somewhat know the system. In Compton and McNichols' case, they know it inside out. So it's allowed them to come in and have that impact. But they wouldn't have that opportunity if it wasn't for underachievements by the guys already here. I think that's something that you have to look at.
Talking with TD coming up Wednesday, Nate and TD Friday night. What's on tap for this week?
You know, we haven't really gone through and figured out. I'll tell you what's on tap, just thorough conversation, thorough football talk. I haven't really put together everything that we're doing this week. I've been working on an A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf post that, cool. You know, I've been working on for quite some time. So I put all my energy into that, but we'll figure it out. It'll definitely be Real Talk Radio as it always is.
Awesome. Appreciate the time as always, TD. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport, Titans, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter, and all of our training camp coverage is brought to you by OsteoStrong Nashville and Wyatt Johnson Ford. A lot to unpack there. We'll be back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Sir.
Rod Davenport, of course, that was our Titans training camp coverage. We'll have more of that coming up to start the second hour. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. But all of our training camp coverage of the Titans brought to you by OsteoStrong Nashville and Wyatt Johnson Ford. Like I said, another opportunity at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from the head coach, maybe even from a player or two, check in with what they have to say before the Titans get out on the practice field. Normally, Vince Ferrara will joins us every Monday at high noon. He's actually doing the midday show today in Knoxville. He'll be doing the afternoon show tomorrow on WNML, the Sports Animal. So we're actually going to push today's appearance to the same time tomorrow. So he'll join us at high noon tomorrow, and we'll talk all things Vols with Vince tomorrow at noon. So we're looking forward to that. Today we'll go down to Jacksonville at noon and find out what exactly are the Jags doing. It looks very clear like they're doing what the Dolphins were doing. Yeah, no, they know, and what the Colts were doing. It's very clear that they're, whatever saying you want to have, right, we've all got whatever their slogan is, I mean, they're doing what, and Willie knows this. And Chase, I think you remember too. I said this is what the Titans should do this year. 2 years ago, I said they should tank this season, upcoming season, for Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, I didn't know at the time when I said that that they were going to be coming off an AFC title run or championship game run the year prior. But this is, you know, this is what they're doing. And what stinks is if they actually pull this off, which they should, because they're going to stink. We're now going to have Deshaun Watson. You know, all these years we've talked about the few division titles that the Titans have had. Well, they had to go up against Peyton Manning for how long? They had to go up against Andrew Luck for how long? Now they've been going up against Deshaun Watson, and they haven't been winning division titles because of him. And if Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville, as dysfunctional as the Jags are, when you have that guy, which looks like a, you know, a generational quarterback, you know, their franchise quarterback for 10 to 12 years or longer, that they'll have to go up against that guy twice a year. And it's just, you know, I think I brought this up I brought it up today on Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. I think if the NFL probably has to get in a room and consider what the NHL and the NBA does. They may have to be looking at, you know, envelopes and ping pong balls to determine draft order, because if this is what teams are going to do when they identify that franchise quarterback, that, you know, generational quarterback, and they're just going to tank to get him, then maybe you have to take a different approach on the number one pick.
I'd love to have a draft lottery in the NFL. I'd be all for that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I used to hate the draft lottery, and I don't know why. I have no explanation of why I hated it, but I think it just adds so much more suspense and parity to the league. So I think it'd be great if they put that in. I don't think they will, but I think
you don't.
No,
I mean, don't you? This is very obvious what Jacksonville is doing. It's very obvious that they are not trying to win this year. And there is one really, really attractive piece coming up in the draft. The surefire number one pick, just like Andrew Luck was. And what did the Colts do that season?
They
beat the Titans.
They did beat the Titans.
They did beat the Titans. One of their two wins was against the Titans. Yes, that is true.
Who was their quarterback?
Oh, quarterbacks?
Well, I bet the one that beat the Titans.
Oh, man. Was it Orlovsky?
No.
Curtis Painter?
The Titans won the game that Curtis Painter started. I want to say it's Orlovsky, but
don't
I
tell
right.
me it's. Wait a minute, it's not that former Kansas State quarterback who went to Tampa Bay Bucks, Josh
Freeman.
Josh Freeman, no. The guy they pulled out. That wasn't that out of the
game.
Grocery store.
No, that was a different year that happened,
and they what lost to him,
and they still lost that game.
Was that 2012?
2011.
2011. Okay, so that would have been. December
right
18th,
or is it 20?
Yeah, December 18th, 2011.
No, it wasn't 2011.
I think it was. Wasn't
it?
It
was. They split with the Colts that year.
Yeah. Okay, they lost 27-13 on December 18th.
Yeah, it was a night game.
So look up that game and see who was the quarterback for the Colts, Chase.
I'm looking it up. Hang on.
We're gonna kick ourselves, aren't we? It wouldn't have been. No way. No, it wasn't the former Wisconsin quarterback, right? Sorgi.
Sorgi
was long gone.
Yeah.
He was long gone. All right, hang on.
Didn't they have another
Hasselbeck?
While you find that, Chase, I will weigh in on this.
All right, give me your final answer.
My final answer is Orlovsky.
Okay. It's not Orlovsky. I don't have an answer. It's not Orlovsky. I'm just going to go with Josh Freeman.
You were saying Josh Freeman.
Yep.
The quarterback for the Tennessee Titans was Matthew Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck, yeah.
And that team ended up 9-7, didn't they?
No. Yes, 9-7. Yes.
9-7, and they lost the Colts.
The quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, 11 completions, 17 attempts, 82 yards, one touchdown, was Dan Orlovsky.
Thank you.
Oh, dang it.
Thank you.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
I don't remember that. Well done.
Thank you. Thank
well
you.
Done.
I mean, he passed for 82 yards. Who could forget that game?
Gosh, I really felt confident you were wrong. I really did. I don't know why.
How does that Titans team go 9-7 and lose to that Colts team?
And that would have been
Willie,
the difference.
Josh Freeman was plucked out of a grocery store bagging groceries and beat the Titans.
But that was a horrendous Titans team. This is a Titans team that went 9-7.
What was that, 2015? That year, right? When they went
3-13? Well, it was one of the years that they ended up with the pick that got Marcus Mariota, or the next year where they had the first pick. You know, it was one of those 2 years.
Well, it was 2015. It was the 2015 season.
Yeah. Did Hasselbeck,
you could see them losing that game.
Did he get hurt in that game, or did he get benched?
Matt Hasselbeck?
Because he started the game, but Locker finished it, because Locker had a touchdown pass to Nate Washington towards the end.
He may have gotten hurt.
And then Donald Brown, remember, an 80-yard rush, and that sealed it for the Colts.
I didn't see that game. It was a night game. The Predators played that same night. I can remember having that game on the screen during our post-game show and thinking, are they going to lose this game to the Colts?
Yep. 27-13.
It's unreal. But let's say
your last year doing that, by the way, right?
That would be the 11-12 season.
No, I guess it would have been the year.
Yeah.
So you had
one more year.
One more year.
Yeah. It was the first year of doing the games on the game. 102.5 the game.
That's correct.
Let me throw this out there, though, because that's a good example of, you can have the plan, and I don't doubt that somewhere in they'll never admit it, right? But somewhere they're thinking, yeah, wouldn't be a bad year to have the first pick. But
you don't think they're doing that?
No, I think there's a lot of them that are doing it. It's hard to do because it's hard to tell a coach and a bunch of players, we really don't want you to win. They can't say that. But a lot of things can happen to keep you from having the first pick.
Like, right? The Dolphins were trying to do it.
They kind of were trying to do that. They ended up being a half-decent team that was way more competitive than we thought they would be. So just because you're sitting here today on August, whatever today is, and saying, oh,
31st.
They're going to go 0-16 and they're going to get Trevor Lawrence, that doesn't mean that it's actually going to happen. The Titans almost screwed that up for the Colts. I don't know who was the next worst team that year. But I'm sure there was other teams that were close to 2-14.
Oh, well, I'm sure the Jets and the Browns were in the discussion.
Well, probably.
Hang on.
The 2015 season. I mean, Jets and Browns, for sure. Especially the Browns.
No, we're talking the 2011 season, when the Colts went 2-14 and then got Andrew Luck.
Remember
that was, it's not like they tried to have Peyton Manning hurt his neck. I mean, that was sort of unexpected. But then they reached a point where they're saying, who's kidding who? Now, I don't know if they thought they would be that bad. Do you think they actually were sitting there in a room, the Colts in 2011, saying, let's tank?
So you think people just suck for luck? Everybody said that, and you just think it was, everybody just got on the same page and there was nothing to it?
Well, I'm sure there became a point in the season.
It was the joke the whole season.
I don't know if it was the joke before the season.
There were two teams.
At some point during the season, it becomes obvious that, hey, it's really better that you lose. But to sit here before the season starts and say that, now that's true. That's true tanking, if that's going on.
They had Curtis Painter
and Dan Orlovsky as their quarterbacks. What do you look at? Jacksonville's going with Gardner Minshew.
They had some other ones too. I don't think they were the only ones.
Well, that's happened to the Texans a couple of times too, where they've ended up with a revolving door of nobody's quarterbacking, and they never got the first pick out of it. Now they still got their quarterback, and he wasn't. I mean, Deshaun Watson was not a high first round pick. It's not like they tanked to get Deshaun Watson.
Well, you're saying, well, he was a high for, he just wasn't like the second pick overall.
That's what I mean. No, yeah. He wasn't the guy that everybody was saying, this is the surefire franchise guy, and they got their guy.
You mean he didn't go fourth that year? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Jacksonville went fourth and took Fournette. Yikes.
And then they cut him. But yeah, the Rams also went 2-14 that year. Because remember, our buddy Jeff Fisher got hired after that season. He took the year off when he left here. And then went to the Rams.
Well, that was the year.
The Rams in St. Louis.
I think that was the year that Sam Bradford had one of his 7 ACL surgeries or whatever injuries that knocked him out for.
He only had seven?
Well, he that was that one year. I think his first year, they thought they were going to be all right. And he tore his ACL and missed the whole year. I mean, that screws your whole team up.
And they tried to bring Kurt Warner back, and he's like, man, I'm too old. I'm not coming back. Wow. Yeah, just think about that. Leonard Fournette.
So sometimes you have
sometimes
you have the plan and you think, you know, this is the surefire guy. People thought Sam Bradford would be a franchise quarterback, and you see how it turns out. I don't even know that Trevor Lawrence is that much of a can't miss.
Oh, God, give me a break. Are you kidding? I was saying it 2 years ago.
How can you ever know?
2 years ago, and you said that.
No, you're saying that, but I'm saying,
you were like,
how do you know?
How could you possibly say that after his freshman year? I'm like, he is going to be the surefire number one without a doubt.
Yes, he is. He will be the first pick.
2 years ago, I said that.
Yes, I think we all know that that's true. But I think it's a reach to just say for sure he is the franchise quarterback. We've seen too many guys who look like they're the franchise quarterback out of college that don't turn out to be that for one reason or another.
I understand. There's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
But he is in the Andrew Luck category. Everybody knew Andrew Luck was going one. Everybody knew he was the surefire number one pick. You're right. Nobody knows how it's truly going to play out. I'm just simply saying there is no doubt. There is nothing to discuss. He is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Doesn't matter what anybody does this year. He'll be the number one pick in the draft.
Well, what if he blows his knee out? I mean, you do have to factor that in.
Well, there's any number of things that can keep you from being
obviously it hurt too
a great player.
Yeah,
he slipped to five because of the injury.
Right. So I mean, that certainly has to be a factor.
But if Joe Burrow doesn't have the season that he had, it might not even have affected him.
It's a risky. All I'm pointing out is it's a risky thing to put all your eggs in that basket. Just give away a season for the chance that you get the first pick to get a guy that there's no guarantee ends up being the superstar that you want him to be.
What kind of season? This is where Chase is going. What kind of season do you think that they were going to have anyway?
I don't know. The St. Louis Rams, the year they beat the Titans in the Super Bowl, were supposed to be every bit that bad. They had been horrendous the year before. Sometimes you just never know when it all comes together. Anybody think Jacksonville a couple years ago was going to the AFC Championship game?
No.
That kind of happened out of nowhere. There's always a team out of nowhere that surprises people in this league.
Yeah, but come on. Gardner Minshew, Minshew mania. You really going to put all your eggs in that basket?
No. Not at all. But I'm just saying it's risky to sit there before the season starts and mail it in. That's a risky thing to say, well, we'll do that and hopefully we'll end up with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, maybe they have a crystal ball that nobody else has, but you really think Jacksonville is really got it together and they've got all this figured out?
No,
they're a team that's kind of like the Browns in the, you know, they tend not to figure it out. Look at their draft picks. You mentioned Fournette, who they just released. They get nothing for him. Their series of first round picks.
Do you want them? You want them?
Yeah, read them right off because they've been a series of, you know, what happened.
Okay, let's start with 2010. Let's go back a decade, okay? These are all of Jacksonville's first-round picks. Alualu, I don't even know who that is.
Okay.
Alualu.
We're off to a great start.
T. Alualu. I don't even remember. Yeah, sure. 2011, we all remember.
What position is Alualu?
I don't know.
You don't even know?
He's out of the league.
Out of the league. Okay, well, that was 10 years ago, so I mean.
Right. True.
Keep going.
2011, Blaine Gabbert.
Okay, enough said.
2012, yikes, Justin Blackmon.
Okay, enough
Ooh.
Said.
Ooh.
Yikes. 2013, Luke Jokel.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
2014, Blake Bortles.
Okay, mm-hmm. Keep going.
2015, Dante Fowler. 2016, Jalen Ramsey. 2017,
no longer on the team, obviously.
Right, Leonard Fournette. Right, none of these guys are on the team. That's the thing.
Jokel's out of the league.
Yes, correct. Fowler, Ramsey, Fournette. And by the way, Fournette was the fourth pick. Deshaun Watson and Mahomes went shortly after that. And they took Brian in 2018 and Allen from Kentucky in 2019.
Hmm.
Those are the only two guys still on the roster. 2018 and 2019 first-round picks.
And so based on that, they've got it all figured out that they're going to tank this season and get Trevor Lawrence and everything's going to be happily ever after?
Well, even they couldn't mess up that if they got the number one pick.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, this is the Jaguars. Does it work out for the Jaguars?
Yeah. And
I just don't think that any team, that's a sound strategy to have. And I'm with you guys. I think they should have a lottery. There should be a lottery in the NFL draft for the first three picks or so. I don't know where you draw the line. I don't know if you take it all the way up to the teams that don't make the playoffs, but I would seem like a lottery would be smart.
If you're a Jags player and you look at what you already look at what the team was, and then they trade in Ndokwe, they cut Fournette in the last couple of days, you just go, you know what, 2020, screw this. Where's my opt out? I'm opting out. I know I'm past the deadline, but I'm out. I'm going home. I'm going to quarantine.
Well, you got to earn money.
It depends on who you are.
Because the window has closed to get the. Where'd you get it? What was the? You were offered money.
Yeah, it was like $150,000.
$150,000, I think. I don't know if you still get that deal, but this is a league where there's parity. Nobody's that far from it. So I do think that acquiring assets that other teams have done in sports, you know, the extra first-round picks, they got a great haul back for Jalen Ramsey. I give him credit for that. If you can get draft picks and build that up and then turn them into good players, that is how you build a good roster. They're just not very good at drafting. That's what's killing them. Right?
Tyson Alualu is who I was.
Bless you.
Yeah. By the way, he's been hanging around. He's just been kind of a journeyman guy. Not really a journeyman.
He's still in the league?
Kind of, yeah. No, he played for Pittsburgh last year. He played in five games. So he's played in five games, two games, five games. So he's just kind of a, you know.
He's been in the
spot
league.
Starter. Is that a good way of putting it? He's a defensive lineman. Spot starter, defensive tackle.
Give him credit for hanging out in the league.
Yeah, no, he's.
But this is the problem with Fournette, is apparently they tried to trade him every which way and couldn't find any takers. So they get no asset back for that. At least for Ramsey, they got a haul. You know, they got a lot back from the Rams.
Yep.
But to lose Fournette and get nothing back, that is a tough blow.
All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel to start the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.